Hey folks, welcome back to another Call That Girls Remote Support Show. I'm Lisa Hendrickson, your hostess, and this is show number 5. And boy, oh boy, has the last few weeks turned out to be kind of exciting in our remote support industry and in the computer repair industry overall. I've got a few topics here that I will just let everybody know. It is February 9th today, so some of this might be old news if you're listening far and beyond. But at this point, it's relevant, and it's trending, as they say, on social media. So I thought I'd discuss it and tell you my thoughts. And this week, first of all, I've noticed that a lot of people are in an uproar and panic over LogMe and Free being gone. At this point, it is a dead issue. People who were using LogMe and Free are now having to pay for their seats, and people are scrambling to find new opportunities to give their clients remote support free tools, or you know, whatever they were using for remote support. And I have to just say that I've told my clients through a blog that I would like them to pay for LogMeIn if that's what they're using, because of the fee, it's probably not worth their time to go out and try to find a free alternative. And my business clients, they will pay. They just want to continue doing what they were doing. So I alerted everybody and said, if you like it, just pay and deal with it. And sometimes it's not good to change and find new products to save $100 a year. That's how I look at things anyway, when it comes to buying software and using free tools. And I think that a lot of people in my industry are looking for some alternatives. So I can recommend Instant House Call. They are offering a 30% discount right now for anybody who signs up. And you can read more about it at instanthousecall.com. Another thing this week that has kind of irritated me to no end is Mosey has eliminated their affiliation program, and I am not happy about that. I've been an affiliate of Mosey for many, many years now, and it's not that I make hand over fist with their affiliation fees. A lot of times I sign people up and don't even count the affiliation money, but I'm really disturbed a little bit because now it's made me have to go and find alternatives. And I am working with a company called SOS, doing their online backup, which I'm in the process of branding and getting set up and all of that right now. I'm not a fan of managed IT. I really don't like it, but I have to start doing it because of how technology is changing and whatnot. So I am now moving into some managed services, and I'll talk about that later. But for right now, I don't know, it's not for everybody to do managed IT, I guess. And I like just having people pay, and then I support the product if they need it. I don't like having to run the whole show. But so those times are gone now. I have to move on, and I will not support Carbonite. And if you're a listener of my show, I just like to say that Carbonite to me is one of the most horrifying products to try to install and configure. And I've seen it mess up where it's not retrieved people's data, and it's hard to see the files that you want to restore and to actually back up. Other people might say, Lisa, what are you thinking? You're crazy. It's so easy. But for me, I just never understood it. I never liked it. And I guess how they have their product set up, to me, it's just rather confusing. But moving ahead, the biggest news also is Malwarebytes is no longer a lifetime product. And I think I've publicly stated that I sell Malwarebytes at a higher price because I do offer support. And I do offer, if people have a problem with Malwarebytes, I fix it for no charge. And I also do the transferring of their license for them, and I retain their licenses. I'm not one of those people that just gives it to them and lets them hold it. I also retain it, so if they ever need it, they can call me up and say I need it again. Like I said, I do sell it at a higher price. So now at this point, I have to make a decision on how I'm going to be selling Malwarebytes. The new product is the same price. It's a yearly fee, and you can use it on 3 computers. So with that being said, I have to configure my new product sales page, and I got to figure out how I'm going to do this. And I think that the 3 computer deal is going to be awesome for my home and residential clients. I just am not sure if I want to, again, manage a yearly fee renewal thing. But if you want to make money in this business, you got to play the game, right? And you have to do all those record keepings and renewing and reoccurring invoices and all that. And this is where I was kind of hoping to have the nice easy road. So now with SOS and Malwarebytes, I have a whole new structure in my invoicing to keep track of. And like I said, it's part of the game. You know, I like having products to sell. It helps my day-to-day, you know, sales come in. And finally, the other big thing is XP end of life. This is where I'm going to ask my listeners to give me feedback. I've tried to find this out, but somebody emailed me and said, Lisa, XP is no longer ending in 2014. They've extended it to 2015. And I went and looked online, and I did not see anything from Microsoft directly stating that. They did say that some of the security features will be extended, but for what I'm seeing out there, it's still saying that 2014 in April is the end, and people should still consider moving on. And I'm still going to tell my clients that until I am told otherwise. So if any of you out there have a link to the exact documentation from Microsoft stating that, please send it along. I'll put it up in the show notes, and I'll blog it. Thank you. All right, moving ahead, we have updates from last week. And while most of these repairs I did were pretty standard, I wanted to pick out some of the good learning opportunities to share with you all. I think that, you know, when you do remote support, the day-to-day calls are the same. But what makes them interesting is how people deal with the repairs. And how you deal with the people and the repairs. And the first job I want to talk to you about is this client I had. He's one of those excited kind of guys that when you talk to him on the phone, he is happy to have you help. And he's very detail-oriented with everything he wants fixed. And he uses a lot of exclamation marks in his emails. And he's very thankful. And I love those kind of folks, but they're also sometimes the most demanding clients out there. And that can be tough on us because the expectations that we have are to get in, repair the job, make sure they're happy, make sure the fix works, and send them on their way. Well, this client kept emailing me about some certain repairs with Outlook, and he kept asking me if I could quote him a price and if I could guarantee that price. No. We can never guarantee a price in our world, in our remote support world, rather. I mean, I can give a project price, but almost with every project, you have to have a little buffer for technical snags and other issues. And the lessons I'm learning are pretty big lately with my project work that you can say, okay, I can do X, Y, Z for this price. But if there's a technical snag, yeah, then I'm going to be charging you more because of issues that are out of my control. And so like this guy says, well, look, I want my contacts fixed. I want the duplicates removed. I want to retain the categories and the notes. And can you do it for $69? That's how we started it because that's my minimum fee. And normally I can, you know, export people's contacts and clear out their contacts and, you know, re-import them in with no duplicates for 15 minutes. But he had just so many extra things, and I told him, no, I cannot fix it for $69, but it might take an hour. And then he goes, can you guarantee that hour? And I said, no, because I just don't know what what's going to happen because he's got so many other things involved. But I told him this. I said, I will guarantee you that I will make the price the best I can if you're willing to maybe help. Because sometimes there's other work that has to be done with these, you know, jobs. And if the client can help out, that makes their fee go down. So how it worked out was I remoted into his computer and I exported out his contacts and opened up the CSV file. And I showed him, I said, here's all of your duplicates. And now you're missing some fields with people's names because he just put stars in there for some reason and exclamation marks. And yeah, I don't know what his purpose was with doing that, but I told him, you spend the time cleaning that up, and then when you're done, call me back and I'll import them back in for you. So that first call took 7 minutes, so I clocked it at 7 minutes. Then he spent two and a half hours cleaning up the duplicates, which is kind of interesting because I could probably not have done that because I don't know his contacts like he does. And then he called me back and I got it back in. And with some other Outlook work, it turned out to be a 45-minute call. So I gave him expectations that were correct, and the bill was actually less than an hour, which made him happy. But I think, you know, when you're emailing with somebody back and forth, you know, it's hard to tell a client, you know, look, I'm going to do my best. And plus, I hate to say it, these emails sometimes take time to read and reply. So landing the client can take some time as well. And you're like going, am I losing money at this point? Sometimes I think so. But anyway, he has called me a couple times for help, and I always appreciate that. And that's why people love having remote support technicians like us available, because they will call you back when there's another problem. All right. Then I also got a client this week that, it'll happen to you all at some point. I call them the little fibbers, the little people that, not little people, I didn't mean it that way. The people that call in with a problem and you ask them if they did anything on their computer to make this change happen, and they say no. And you're kind of like, okay, I think you did, but they don't want to tell you because they don't want to look incompetent, and they don't want to look like they don't know what they're doing. But this lady called me about 2 months ago to fix some email issues that she was having, and her emails weren't delivering to the right inbox, and the port settings were wrong, and she had just a huge mess because I think somebody else had helped her, and it could have been Comcast, because those people there don't know anything about Outlook, I'll tell you that. But anyway, I asked her, did you change any of these settings yourself? And she said no. Now, the reason why I asked her that is because I looked at the settings, and they did not look like the settings I helped her with last time. And when you tried testing email, they weren't sending out, so I knew something was really, really wrong. And so, you know, I had to go and look up some old passwords and go look up new port settings, and I got everything almost working. And finally I said, you know, something really seems strange here. And I asked her directly, are you sure that you didn't change any of these settings? And I chat with people in my remote chat tools, and she never replied back to me. So at that point, I was like, yep, she did. Everything's all wrong. And I kind of feel bad because she just paid me 2 months ago to fix all these problems. So what I think happens with people is I just had to recharge her because she wouldn't tell me what she did. And if she had just told me in the first place, it might have made a difference in the call. But I think that people just don't want to admit that they went in and tried to muck with it and messed it up, pretty much. So that's our learning lesson. And I'm sorry that I keep using Outlook as an example here, but it doesn't matter what repair you're doing. People are still going to fib, and they're still going to not want to tell you, and still, you know, so it doesn't matter what the job is you're doing. They still don't want to look like the bad guy in this tech repair, but they're always willing to pay at the end. And that's all that matters, I guess. And then another issue I had that came up was interesting is yesterday morning I had a call from a client, and she said, hey Lisa, this product you sold me isn't working too good, I need your help. And I said, oh, okay, let me remote in, take a look at it. And then it dawned on me that she was a client of mine a couple years ago when I had a few stores, and I had, you know, technicians coming in and out, you know, them leaving me and letting them go. And when you have staff, you have to keep track of records, you know, somehow in a organized manner. And I remember her specifically because she had not some good service from us. And whenever a client has not good service, you know, as the owner, you call and you do everything in your power to at least get them to a happy level. And whether or not they call you back again or not, you want that client to have a good last breath with you. And that happens to every business. There's somebody unhappy, you have to fix it. And if it's an employee that, you know, made them upset, you have to call and do the, you know, look, I talked to the employee, we had a discussion about this, I'm really sorry, won't happen again. And I remember her being very, very upset. And I know it's been a couple years. And so, if she wouldn't have had a problem with this product, I wonder if she would have called back or not. But anyway, when she called, I was like, yeah, let me remote in. And her product was not working right. And I said, you know, you haven't called in a couple years. And she goes, yeah, I haven't. And I said, well, it looks like you could use a little tune-up here because her Windows updates were bad and her Internet Explorer looked really corrupted. And And I said, you know, I think it's been a couple of years since you had to service your computer. So should we move this to a tune-up and then we'll fix your product as well? And she was like, well, I don't know if I really need a tune-up. And that's when I had to show to her, yes, you do. You have bad Windows updates, your Internet Explorer is bad, and this product is failing. And we need to get that fixed. And she was like, okay, let's do a tune-up. And mind you, that neither one of us talked about the bad issue that happened, but it just kind of dawned on me because we don't have very many unhappy clients, you know. And I hope your business is the same way. You shouldn't have very many happy on clients if you're doing your customer service correctly and following up and doing what you can. And so I kind of felt like I had a little win there, you know, like I won her back a little bit. And she did ask me about how business was going. She goes, I still read your newsletters, and you know, that makes me just feel kind of good that you know, a client that I had gone wrong kind of came back a little. And you know, I'm the face of the company. I'm the one who deals with everything, so it's my job to make sure that everybody's happy. Alrighty, folks, let's see what else we got here, and then we're gonna move on to our topic of the week. All right, folks, now if you have not purchased my ebook, remote support ebook, that is Call That Girl's Guide to Remote Support, you might want to check it out. You can click at the bottom of the show notes here. The third edition is out, and it's a mix of a whole bunch of new opportunities that's been happening in the past couple of years, plus some of what was in the second edition. So if you purchase the third edition today, you also get the second edition at no charge, and you get some supporting documents and PDFs. And I got a new bonus that I'm adding on to the book, which is kind of, well, it's in my topics for this week, but I think it's something that a lot of small shops might want to pay attention to. Companies that aren't, you know, not offering transition work and hosted exchange. The supporting documents and the bonus is going to be how to do a Microsoft Office 365 transition. I know a lot of people are looking to learn it and get into it. And I created a how-to guide, about 4 pages, real simple. And I'm going to have some videos that go with it on how to do it and how to exactly from start to end offer the services, how to do it, and the pricing, and how you can make some money off it. And I think with so many businesses wanting to move to the cloud now, it's a great opportunity for a one-man shop to start getting out there and hustling to their business clients and say, you know, look, I can get you off the old POP IMAP and move you right into the new hosted exchange or Microsoft Exchange Online, whatever you choose, and start not only making some money, but giving some more support opportunities to your company. So again, at the show notes, you can buy my Call That Girl's Guide to Remote Support. I also have the social media ebook and the manual of operations as well. Alrighty, and I'm also gonna throw in there that the first 5 people to email me, I would like them to get a test version of my Microsoft Office 365 transition for no charge, just because I'm looking for someone to give me some feedback and to tell me if they, you know, need more information, less information, whatever. So you can email me, lisa@podnuts.com, to get in the first 5 people that email to test that out. Alrighty, folks, now we're going to move on to what products I sell and what services I'm selling this year. I kind of had to change things up a little bit last year. When you don't have stores, you know, like I don't anymore, you have to really think about your service line and what you're going to offer people and at what level do you sell them. I think that you start off when people call in with the break fix, and then you do your interview, you get to know your clients a little better, and you can figure out, aha, they need online backup. Aha, they've got free antivirus. Aha, they don't have a support company they're working with. And how many people do they have? No, let's try to sell them a support ticket. Or do they want a monthly maintenance program like GFI? Or do they want to just have a prepaid ticket system that they just call in and use, you know, at different times? So for right now, like I said, I offer a break fix level, which is hourly rate work, and that can include new computer setups, virus removals, of course, and tune-ups, printer issues, help with external hard drives, software installation. I mean, this is kind of the standards. These are the kind of calls you're going to get when you offer remote support. And those all pretty much can be underneath the break fix level. New computer setups, Well, they're not the quickest jobs. I would say that I quote people 1 to 3 hours, and I tell them that the more that they have me to do, the more, the cost is going to be. Most of my clients have no problem paying between $300 and $400 to get their new computer set up. They know that they can't do this work. They want it done in one afternoon, and they want to be able to just work. They just want to be able to get going with their new system. And with the new computer setups, if you've got them on Windows 8, well, there's some learning involved too and some training, if you have to, get them to that next level anyway. And I try to get everybody on Windows 7 still to make it a little bit easier. But with, the end of life for XP, you're going to start getting these kind of calls. And I still am doing all of them remotely. Not any of them have I gone on site for. So it's up to you when you interview if you are an on-site company, if you'd rather do it on-site or finish up remotely. But just for those that are doing remote support only, these can be done. And everything else I talked about earlier, virus removals, tune-ups, printer issues, help with external hard drives, software installations, all are done remotely. And, I do have the printer one fee price of $79 just because I just feel it's not fair to someone to charge them 2 or 3 hours worth of work for a printer when they go buy a new one. Another thing this year that I'm trying to add on is I want bigger ticket sales from those break fix jobs. So it's my job when I take a break fix client to offer more products and services to extend their, time with me to get to know me, that they want to purchase more time or a monthly program. So I have added on the GFI maintenance program. I do use it with my partner, and he manages everything for me, so I don't have to really get into the nuts and bolts of that. But for the price he's giving me, I can upsell to my clients at a decent price for myself to make some money. And I do believe I've sold 7 or 8 of those since we started about a month ago. So, I mean, the sales come in. You just have to know how to sell them. And the other big ticket that we're starting is now the online backup. We figured out a, fair price and a nice little, buffer in there to make a little money, but to manage it, to use it for the administrative end. And of course, the prepay tickets, which are just huge for me. I love selling prepay tickets. It keeps the cash flow in, it keeps the clients at a decent discounted rate, so when they call in, they're not paying, the high rates. And it just overall is helpful to both parties, me and the clients. And I'm probably selling between 4 and 6 of those a month. I mean, I kind of did my tracking the other day and was like, yeah, 4 to 6 a month. I mean, it'd be great if I did 12 to 20 a month, but we can't, that takes a lot of high pressure sales, and I'm not sure I want to do that. So I'm kind of happy with where I'm at right now with those. And then also, I'm doing, quite a bit of the hosted Exchange transition work and the Microsoft Exchange Online or the Microsoft Office 365. Now, with that, you have to actually go out and try to find your own clients that need the work. So, well, actually, I hate to say try to go find them. What I mean is when they call in, that's when you should, take that opportunity to ask them and try to see if they're interested. And once you start learning how to do these transitions, I get, well, I don't know, a company of 5 people done before noon. I mean, I've got it down to where I just bam, bam, bam it out, and everybody's happy as a clam, and they can start seeing each other's calendars, and they can share everything on their iPhones, and everything just synchronizes. That is my biggest ticket item right now that I'm working on. And I love those because those people actually end up buying support tickets too. So it's like you buy one, you buy the next one, and everybody's happy. And now for products. I did, mention that I was selling Malwarebytes at one fee. I have to revise that, but I'm still going to continue to sell it. I am doing SOS online backup. And I'm trying to sell Microsoft Office 2013, but I'm not sure if I'm doing it right. I'm not a big Microsoft partner with products, so to speak. And I'm just not sure how to, do all that yet. I mean, I've always admitted when I don't know something, so I'm just kind of figuring that out. I know a lot of you are already Microsoft partners and know how to do it all, but that's one of the things I'm going to try to get into is to, being a partner so I can sell that. And so I got, let me see my list here again. Antivirus, online backup, software, and the 365 work. And that's kind of it for the products I'm selling. I mean, most of the work I sell is my support, and that's what people want. You know, you can try to be an affiliate of Dropbox and you get free space, which, you know, yippee is 5 gigs or whatever. I've also tried to sell Companion Link, and just due to my unhappiness with that product, I haven't been selling those. And then I tried to partner with another, you know, synchronizing tool, and they don't really have a good affiliation fee. So, you know, when you go out and pick a product, you got to make sure that the support people are going to be there for you. And I'm happy with G-Sync's support, but not happy with Companion Link. So it's a toss. It's a toss up there. But that's kind of it, folks. You know, I don't sell a lot of products. I do more service. And I think that it's probably to your benefit to review what products you do sell. See if you can start making affiliation money. And before you pick a product, make sure that their support people are up to par with how you work. I could tell you that if there's a company that only works with email and ticket systems, I really don't like it. I'm more of a, can I call you and get it taken care of? And that's why with the difference between the Microsoft Office 365, one thing I've noticed is a lot of people are like, Lisa, why aren't you selling Microsoft directly and you're going to make a ton of money? And I'm like, yeah, but have you ever waited on the line with Microsoft to fix something? It's horrendous. I mean, nobody likes sitting on the phone for Microsoft because it really ties you down and you can't talk to other people. You're stuck on the phone. They put you through second, third level. So I pretty much just work with AppRiver. Awesome support. No waiting on hold. You talk to a person. You get your stuff fixed. Yeah, you pay a little bit extra. And yeah, your clients might, but the support is amazing. And I never have to wait on the phone. And I can email them and they're fast and responsive. So for me, as a product for the 365, I choose AppRiver. If a client wants hosted Exchange, I go with GoDaddy. And their support sometimes can suck. But for the most part, their first line techs can get things fixed. If you have a problem past that, good luck. Because they are tied down to their, you can't get past first level for nothing, which irritates me to no end. But anyway, that is the show, folks, this week. It's a little shorter show. I'm sorry, this is what I wanted to talk about this week, though. And I want to close the show by telling you that I appreciate anybody who donates to the Podnuts Network. So if you can go to Podnuts and donate a few bucks here and there, every single penny is appreciated. Everybody that downloads from Podnuts, you know, throw a few bucks in and let's see, you know, the network grow even better. And if you want to get a deal on my ebooks, go down to the show notes, click on it. There's a special deal for everybody. Again, you can add me on LinkedIn. There's a link at the bottom of the show notes. You can add me on Facebook at @CallThatGirlHelpDesk. You can join me on Twitter @CallThatGirl, or you can email me, Lisa@podnuts.com, and I love feedback, good, bad, the ugly. Bring it. Okay, folks, that's it for this show. See you next time.